I think people underestimate the power of cooking from scratch. And it is scary when you've never done it and you haven't had a mentor to help you. And you're going to make some stuff that's gross and you're going to mess it up. But it's like anything, it is a skill that you can learn. And cooking from scratch will blow people's mind about how much you can save. Mm-hmm. Your food's going to be better. You can eat more of it without eating all those excess calories in the processed food, and your budget's going to be low.
My name is Lisa, mother of 8 and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today I am having on, and if it sounds like I'm going back and forth from the mic, that's because I'm trying to rock the baby. If you're watching on YouTube, you know that. But whenever I start talking, he can't hear anything that's coming into my headphones. So it's a sudden loud noise to him. We're talking with Christine from Frugal Fit Mom. She also has a podcast under the same name. I actually really enjoy listening to her podcast. Sometimes she has her husband on too, and they will take calls from listeners who are struggling with their budgets, like their grocery budget. And she has such practical advice on things that you might not even think about that you could easily trim off. So I really love her practical wisdom. We are going to chat about all things budgets and cost of food. So not just groceries, other things too. Or maybe we're going to focus mostly on groceries. I don't know. We'll see where the conversation leads. She's all around great with frugal tips. I really enjoy listening to her. So let's dive in to chat with Christine. Christine, thank you so much for coming on. I'm actually a huge fan of your podcast. I listen to you and your husband all the time. So I'm really excited to have you on and talk about budget-friendly stuff. So let's start with introductions. Tell us about you for those who don't know you.
Yeah, my name's Christine. I'm mostly over on YouTube. My channel is called Frugal Fit Mom. I do frugal living tips, saving money, and food.
Cool.
Food content.
Yeah, yeah. And I was telling my husband today, because he always asks me who's coming on the podcast, like whenever I have a recording, who it was. And I was like, well, she does all of these budget-friendly things. Sometimes one of her listeners will call in and say, what would you do if this was your grocery budget and I can't seem to shave things off? And I told him that she's actually frugal, because so many times people tell me things that are like frugal tips. And I'm such a naturally frugal person that I'm like, oh, no, of course, I've never done that. Like, give me something I don't know, right? And that is definitely, like, your stuff definitely makes me think, okay, she's legit frugal. Like, these aren't just her tips she's read somewhere and tried to, you know, give to people.
Yeah, you know, I think when people see me now, like, look at me now, they don't see all the years of struggle. They don't see all the years of nothing. Like, I was frugal out of necessity for at least the first 13 years of my marriage, at least. And My parents both grew up extremely poor. Like, my mom, both of her parents were teachers. They lived deep south, like Cajun roots, think that. And super, super poor, had nothing. And then my dad's family, oh my gosh, like, think blue collar workers, deep south poor. You know, dad worked 3 jobs. They didn't have money for clothes or anything. They had rice with every meal because it was such a great meal extender. So you have 2 people like that get married and then raise kids. So I grew up that way. And then when I got married, my husband was a teacher for the first several years of our marriage. And I don't know if you knew this, but teachers don't get paid very well.
Yeah, I knew that.
And I stayed home with the kids, as we had agreed that we were going to do. Mm-hmm. And the only way that worked was by being extremely aware of what was coming in, what we were spending, and not wasting anything.
Yeah. So sometimes I feel like people go the opposite way, though. If they grew up in like a family where they felt like they wanted more, they kind of tend to grow up, get in debt, and try to live a different life. I don't know if you've experienced like that happening a lot of times.
I've seen that happen with people. What happened in my parents' family is, so based on my mom's encouragement, my dad is the first and only member of his family to go to college, to kind of move away from very, very low income blue collar work. And I'm not saying anything bad about blue collar. I'm just talking about the way it was in the 60s, you know, the 50s and 60s was very different than it is now. And
yeah, now he pays more.
Yeah, now you can make a killer living, like as a mechanic or a plumber or an electrician or something, which is mm-hmm. amazing. Back then, it wasn't like that. And so my dad went to college, and what I think happened is he worked so hard. You know, he did night classes when, and I don't think he graduated until I was like 5 or 6. And he was like, I don't want that life for my family, and just chose to do it differently. And there's something I notice about people who work really hard to get a better income is that they respect the money versus maybe people who win the lottery or just make it big overnight, you know, think celebrities or stuff. It came so easy that they don't respect it. Mm-hmm. So they tend to lose it very quickly. Right. And when you work hard for it, I just think you respect it more. And that's what I witnessed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense why you would be the way that you are. I think in my family, I didn't grow up poor or anything, or just, you know, whatever. But still, just everybody in my family is very naturally frugal. Like, we just look at money a little bit differently. And it, like, I listen to Dave Ramsey and I listen to your podcast, and a lot of the things that you share just has just been the way that I grew up and that we've always kind of operated. So, and that's not to say that whenever you have the money, we don't spend it on things that we want to. Cause I think sometimes people will see like certain things in a grocery haul or certain decor that you buy for the house. And, you know, as a YouTuber, and you're a YouTuber, I live my life very publicly, and there might be people who are like, but you bought this. Yeah. But whenever I had 5 kids and 1 very small income, I definitely did not. And so mm-hmm. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I have to like make that disclaimer.
Well, I also think part of it is frugal is not the same as being cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cheap, I would say, is scrimping just to save. And being frugal is being aware of the value of your money and living below your means. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
Yeah, you've done well on social media. I've done fairly well on social media the last couple of years, but that's super recent for me. Super recent, like in the last 3 years, 2-3 years.
Right.
And has it changed what I do? Like, I have the same house. I'm trying to think of what I shop. I grocery shop the same. I cook the same.
Same. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of what I did. I started traveling more is what I did. I wanted to create memories with the people that I love. Mm-hmm. But it's still so well within my means
right.
that it's not like I'm being crazy. I just have a little bit more money now than I used to.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's like the elephant in the room to like get out of the way, because it's coming from this, like, I love sharing about frugal living. You love sharing about it. And then also like certain things I'm like, but I am like 15 years into marriage, 8 years into having a business. And so things just sometimes like you take your family to certain trips, people might be like, that's not frugal. But if it's below your means, then actually it still is. So that with that being said, though, let's talk about some of these questions that people might be trying to figure out. Like right now, the cost of living is higher than it was. Grocery budgets have to be higher. But there are certain things that people tend to do. And I actually recently watched you analyze somebody's grocery trip. And there were so many things that she didn't even think about that you just right away were like, wait, you can save a ton of money doing that. So this is a very broad question, but with soaring food prices, how do you stretch your budget further? What are some like basic tips?
To be fair, I just want to say I've been doing this for 20 years. Like, I've been shopping this way for 20 years. I've been pinching pennies with the calculator at the grocery store and putting back the $1 chapstick because I couldn't afford it for 20 years. So I probably have a lot of knowledge I've learned over time. So now it comes easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So two people that you're talking about that I reviewed their grocery budgets on my channel so far have both been quite young. Right. So they have very little experience trying mm-hmm. to do this. Maybe they weren't raised that way. And I think, can we just say like, maybe people aren't used to it and they don't know how, because it's never been modeled before. So
yeah.
I think that's fine. Starting anywhere is great. So
mm-hmm.
there are so many tips I could give you. It's hard to just narrow it down, honestly. There's a few things that people, yeah, it is. There's a few things people don't want to hear. Like, they don't like it, but it is the truth. So the reason I go after the food budget in people's budgets is usually it's the largest expense after their house and it's the easiest to cut.
And it should be.
If I were to tell people to cut their grocery budget today, what would I tell them? Number one would be to cut all of the junk food. That's the number one. Most people blow their budget off of soda, Gatorade, Capri Suns, juice, chips, ice cream, cookies, that stuff.
Yeah.
It's designed to be addictive and it is delicious and it's very high in calories and does not fill you up.
That's my biggest problem with it.
Super high in calories, doesn't fill you up.
I always figure, like, even whenever I was like very on like a very tight budget with groceries, I never, and this is like counter to everything Dave Ramsey, but I never made a grocery budget because I always trust myself to be as frugal as I possibly can, because like my goal was always just buying food is never a waste of money as long as it's the right type of food. So I just knew what parameters to stay within that. And if we ate it all, then we ate it all and there was nothing more I could do. But that was knowing that I wasn't going to buy things that don't fill you up. If you buy foods that don't fill you up, you're literally just throwing money down the drain.
I'm not saying those things are not delicious. I'm not. But that can be a really, really hard habit to break. However, let me just say this. So my mom is a Diet Coke addict, okay? And I swear she's like mainlined Diet Coke my whole life. Since I was 15, my mom always has Diet Coke on her at all times. And she went to the doctor recently and her kidney function was quite low at this doctor's appointment. I'm trying to remember which doctor that is. A urologist, I guess. And he was like, I'm concerned about your kidneys. Your function's quite low. Tell me about your, you know, daily habits. So she talked about she'd been drinking Monsters, like one a day, and then her Diet Coke. She doesn't even drink water. And he said that the energy drinks, listen to this, the energy drinks are the number one cause of all the young people that he has had to put on dialysis in the last 10 years, along with dark colored sodas. Okay. That's your Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, Coke.
Yeah.
Your kidneys can't process them very well.
Yeah.
So my mom, in her late 60s, after having this habit for like 40 years, quit Diet Coke, quit energy drinks. She did it. So I'm saying if my mom can quit Diet Coke, people can stop buying chips.
Yeah, because that's highly addictive. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just need something that will take the place of, like, when is it that you're eating chips? Is it just a side dish to like sandwiches when you're out on the bout? Or like at what point is a chip something that you use? And then what could you put in place of it in order to still have the thing that you're wanting?
Are you familiar with Michael Pollan's In Defense of Food?
I'm not.
So he wrote this book called In Defense of Food. And I can't remember if he said in the book or in his documentary, I'm not quite sure which, but what he said was fascinating to me about desserts and sweets. And, you know, we're talking chips, but it could be ice cream or pie or whatever, cookies. And he said, you can eat anything that you want as long as you make it yourself.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you want an apple pie, like you have a craving, you're going to make the crust from scratch. You're going to buy apples. You're going to cut them up and season them yourself and do the whole thing on your own. Because if you were willing to make everything from scratch in a junk food sense, it's so much healthier for you. And it takes so much effort that you don't just mindlessly eat these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's totally how we live in our family. I do that without even thinking. I love that.
So you can have whatever you want. You just have to make it.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that we can, that's a very simple way to break it down, because we all understand that it doesn't take any fancy tools or tricks. It's just, you know, that really simplifies the message. So, okay, making things from scratch, avoiding the junk foods, the pre-processed foods. Another thing I think I've heard you talk about is buying certain cuts of meat. So not all protein to protein, you know, is equal as far as cost to caloric intake to what it's providing for your body. Like, how do you weigh that out?
Super interesting question. And I could go down a rabbit hole because I've done a ton of studies on nutrition, you know, took nutrition classes in college and all those things. And my mom's a dietitian. I don't know if you knew that. She was a dietitian for 40 years. So,
okay. No, I don't think
so. I just, understand nutrition quite a bit. I mean, not all of it. It's very complicated, but there's some things that are super interesting. So just if you're going cost alone, ground beef is pretty high right now. Pretty high. That used to be in the 80s, ground beef was like the garbage meat. They bought it because it was cheap.
Right.
Same thing with chicken wings. They used to throw chicken wings away. Now they're more expensive than boneless, skinless chicken breasts. It's crazy. So a lot of the times I can get...
Isn't that because like back in the day you had to like harvest and feed grain to to certain animals, but then the ones that could live off grass was like the cheap throwaway meat. Isn't there some history? Like, I forget if it was on your podcast or where I was reading about that or hearing about that.
It wasn't on my podcast. You might be right there. I think the way people cook has changed quite a bit. Like wings became, you know, this like restaurant thing instead of the poor people food.
That's funny.
And my grandma always cooked the poor people food. So she would tell me these stories, you know, I remember when they would just chuck the chicken wings in the back because they didn't want that garbage. So I grabbed it.
Yeah. Now it's the restaurant.
But a lot of times you can get, I don't know, a pork loin roast. This is what they cut pork chops out of. I see it on sale all the time for maybe $2 a pound. Regular price, $3 a pound. When was the last time you saw ground beef for $2 and $3 a pound?
Yeah, that's not, no, absolutely not. Especially
it's
not high quality.
It's been a long time. I mean, it does go on sale and you can buy that whole loin and you take a sharp knife, you cut your own pork chops. Just cutting them yourself. They'll sell pork chops at the store for $6 a pound. You cut your own for $3 a pound.
See, this is what I love about your podcast. You always think of things I didn't think of. And I feel like I like have thought of everything when it comes to saving money in the food department.
But I mean, it's, I don't know. I guess I do think about it differently. It just, it doesn't occur to me that other people don't also see what I'm seeing. I have seen, I've seen like beef roasts, you know, like the Sunday roast was like the nice, gorgeous meal or whatever. I've seen roasts go on sale for $3.50, $4 a pound. And at my Costco, the boneless, skinless chicken breast is $3.50 a pound all the time.
Really? Because that to me is an expensive meat.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? You can totally have a nice variety. This is the other thing about food. This is more about food quality. This is so interesting. So people think ground turkey is better for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Than beef. Ground turkey is better for you than ground beef. That's just a assumption that a lot of people have. However, if you look at the nutrition information.
Do they still though? I that was definitely at like 10 years ago.
I don't know if they still do, but if you look at the nutritional information of 93% lean ground turkey and 93% lean ground beef, they're exactly the same. The macros are identical, except the beef actually has more micronutrients, more iron that your body needs.
Okay. Yeah. I think they're thinking the fat, which I think we've kind of shifted on thinking fat's bad. But I guess if those are 93%, that's very comparable as far as like the fat. So at what point do you, and is the ground turkey more expensive too?
Yeah, usually. Yeah, because it's like a specialty ingredient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. It gives you something to think about. I always like to think about with food, what things am I buying that it's not going to actually sustain us. Like if you eat a bowl of cereal in the morning, you're still hungry afterwards. So essentially, even if it was on sale, a bowl of cereal is still, or a box of cereal is still a waste of money because you aren't able to just live off that. You have to still go eat another breakfast afterwards. What other things do you feel like are like that, that we might commonly buy thinking that are, you know, you just normally buy?
I'm going to say any high processed food. And any. And cereal is high processed. Mm-hmm. So if you, like, do you even know what's in a Twinkie? Like this extremely high processed.
No clue. I mean,
product.
I'm sure some kind of flour.
Yeah, some kind of maybe. I know that there's no dairy in that cream filling. Oreos.
Right.
Oreos are.
Yeah, when you see dairy-free on stuff like that, you're like, that's not reassuring because there should be dairy in that.
Yeah.
Like, why is there not dairy in that? What is that?
Yeah, the closer you can get to the whole ingredient of something is going to be more filling, more sustainable, more fiber, and fill you up more than anything that's highly processed. That's just true across the board. You pick anything, that's going to be true. I'm with you on the cereal though.
Yeah. Let's talk about natural skincare. As a lot of us are trying to clean out our houses, our diets, skincare is something that is also really important because our skin is our body's largest organ, and what goes on the skin does actually make its way in and affect our health. So it's important to choose quality, but one problem I've had over the years with natural skincare companies or DIYs, I've tried making my own lip balms, face serums, cleansers. They're great, but they don't have the same effectiveness as the drugstore or the department store brands that are full of chemicals and things I don't want in my body. Tubes & Co. is an organic skincare company. It's a small company that uses all natural ingredients. So for example, I have this Tallow Balm sitting here on my desk or my dresser, which is my desk for the day. that is made from grass-fed tallow, virgin olive oil, essential oils, and that's it. It's super luxurious on my skin. I love it during these colder months because my skin tends to dry out and look really lifeless, but this product really nourishes it and brings it back to life. I also love Tubes & Co. makeup. I currently have on the Tubes & Co. eyebrow pencil, which is my favorite thing, the primer, the foundation, the mascara, for a really simple, low makeup, but yet not just my bare splotchy face look. I love Tubes & Co. makeup. It doesn't feel like I'm buying a healthy brand. It feels like really nice makeup that also happens to have extremely clean ingredients. You can check out Tubes & Co. and use the code FARMHOUSE for 10% off over at tubesandco.com. That's T-O-U-P-S and co.com. Again, don't forget to use the code FARMHOUSE for 10% off your order. And one of the top questions I'm sure that you get a lot, and I get a lot, I don't talk about this as much as you do, but with eating on a budget, people automatically think that it's not healthy, but everything that you've mentioned is just eating from scratch. So to me, budget cooking has always been a healthier option because you're not, it's not like you're buying organic Twinkies. Like that's right. Not what we're trying to say to do.
Right. Exactly. Going Whole Foods, I think it's so interesting, all the diets they have right now, right? There's a ton of them. And I can't even list them all. Paleo, Whole 30, mm-hmm. Keto, Atkins, vegan, vegetarian, blah, blah, whatever. There's a ton of them. And what's interesting is even the carnivore diet, people like eat just steak and that's it. Mm-hmm. And every single one of these diets, people are like, when I did the diet, I felt so much better. But they all say that and all the diets are different. But right. What is consistent across the board, across all of them, is they switch to eating whole foods mm-hmm. instead of eating chips, ice cream, and donuts.
Right.
So is it the carnivore diet? Like, is it the steak making you feel good? Mm-hmm. Or for vegans, is it like all the vegetables and fruits making you feel good? Or is it the removal of all of the highly processed stuff? I suspect it's both.
Yeah. I got so wrapped up in that, like all those different types of diets like 10 years ago. And I finally just came to the conclusion like you do, if I make it from scratch, it's good. I cannot analyze it beyond this. And our family has enjoyed decently good yep. health. So I'm with you on that. I think that works for both budget and health. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about seasonal stuff. Is that another focus that you do for budget and health? Like focusing on what is seasonally available?
Yeah, for sure. If you're doing produce of any kind, eating in season, it's going to be more delicious and it's going to be cheaper. Like I don't buy asparagus in November.
Right, right.
It's too expensive. It's like $5, $6 mm-hmm. a pound, which is ridiculous. And then in, when is it in season? April, May? It's 99 cents a pound. Right. In fact, I live in an area where it grows wild across canal banks. You can just go pick it. So if we want to go away from like the fresh stuff, you know, maybe you want strawberries and it's November, you know, but they're super expensive. I think people don't utilize frozen food enough.
Mm. Yeah.
Because stores great, frozen at peak freshness when things are out of season, it's going to be cheaper and no food waste.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. My grandma, she had a good understanding of this and she wanted to have strawberries in the middle of winter. And she said, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I've saved my money. And so I can have strawberries in winter. It just really cracked me up because she was aware of the fact that that was weird, but she felt that she had the budget to do it.
Do you have something that you're like, I don't care what it costs. I'm doing this thing. I have one.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor
air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse.
I'm sure I have several actually. So like one splurge that I've done, and my husband keeps saying like, why don't you go back to making granola? But I have this certain granola that I just absolutely love. And so I'm like, yeah, I could, but it's not as good. And then also, I mean, coffee, it wouldn't matter. Like what it just, well, I'm sure to some extent, but it's like, it could go up a lot before I wouldn't buy it. What's yours?
Right. Mine is stuff to keep me warm.
Okay.
Because I run cold. I'm usually cold. I live in a really cold climate. We have a very long winter and an extremely short summer. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what, we have gas heat, natural gas heat. So it's pretty inexpensive, but I'm like, I don't care what it costs. I'm not keeping the thermostat at 67 and bundling up. Mm. That's dumb. Like, yeah, I can pay the extra whatever dollars. It's not even that much, maybe 50, probably less a month. I have an electric heating blanket that goes on my bed at winter. I crank that sucker on high. I don't care. I'm going to be warm. I will not be cold and miserable.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure we all have some of those things, right? Like I'm actually the same with being warm. Mm-hmm. I haven't always been that way. Like when we first had our first house and we were on a very tight budget, we didn't run the AC in our house for 3 years, which thinking now, like I am such a wimp. There is no way I would do that. And we kept our thermostat. I remember, okay, we brought home our baby, and I'm sure I'm going to get judged by a lot of people for this, but we brought her home December 17th. And I remember we kept our thermostat on 60, and I am not kidding. And now I'm like, what in the world? Like poor baby. Like, I mean, we obviously had her bundled up and everything, but like, it just seemed like the necessary thing to do. And I'm with you now. Like I keep it whatever I want it on.
Yeah, we used to be like that. We kind of had a similar story. We brought our first daughter home. We lived in Idaho at the time. Even in September, it was very cold in September, and we kept our thermostat low. We just bundled up and used blankets, and she cried all the time, all the time. So we go in for the 2-week checkup at the, I think at the hospital, because she had one of those Billy blankets. So he was checking her, and they put the baby in those warmers. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Those baby warmers, they have that warm light. And I just watched her like fold out and relax. Oh. And I had this epiphany. Oh my gosh, she's cold. Been cold.
Yeah.
That's why she's crying. So like we turned up the thermostat, bundled her up more, and she was a great baby after that.
That was it. She was just cold. But I mean,
that was it.
Yeah.
She was just cold.
I'm like you though. I wanted to stay home with the baby no matter what. And this is one of those like very controversial topics because yeah, you know, you're on the internet, you understand, but, I would rather live without AC, do a lot of things in order. And there was more than that. Obviously that's like nickels and dimes when it comes to raising a family, the AC part, like there's housing and that could be really pricey. And we did really have the blessing of we got married in late 07. So we bought our first house in 08. And I realized that's just kind of luck. Like it's not like, you know,
you
if you have to.
Out.
I know. I understand that. And then we bought our second mm-hmm. house in 2019. So again, however,
oh
now
my
in
gosh.
Fairness, I know, but we did sell our house in 2019 also to buy the other one. But still, yes, both times I bought my house was like prime, couldn't have been better. And I understand that. And so I think, I don't know what exactly we would have done. If we would have got married in 05 and had to buy in 06, we probably would have rented. I don't know. I don't know what we would have done. But we did the very frugal things, like to the point of some of our family members being like, what are you doing? Just because I wanted to stay home, you know?
You know, I'm a little jealous of your housing timing because we were the opposite.
Yeah.
We bought our first house in 06 and never recovered. And so what we learned from that experience is that real estate is not always a good investment. We were burned very badly on that first house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very bad. The good news is we bought this house we're in now in 2014.
Okay.
So this house has like more than doubled in value.
Right.
But the problem is, where would we go?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's kind of like our thing. Like right now, based on what we bought our house for in 2019, and then if we sold it, you know, obviously in 2023, probably double. I don't even know. But then we have to buy a place. So it wouldn't really, you know, mean anything. The only problem would be is if you bought in 06, sold in 08, I mean, there's just no way to come out on that deal.
No,
I guess unless you then right away bought again. But yeah. And in some ways, that just matters to what age you are. Like we got married and then it was time to buy a house and that's just where it fell. So I have some cousins who are a couple years older and I thought about that like, oh man, they bought in 06, but it's just what it was. You know, it wasn't like you could see the future.
I know, like knowing what we know now, I could have done it perfectly. But at the time, you don't know. You don't know what you don't know.
Well, right. All right, we'll take a quick break from this awesome conversation to tell you about my 5-day blogging business challenge. So if you followed along for a while, you might know that Luke and I have done this exclusively from home, the blog business, for over 5 years now. He quit his job and we run my blog. Now, I also have since added, of course, a podcast. I have a YouTube channel, but the blog in itself could support our family. And I love the passive income that the blog provides. It's the least invasive for our family life. It's the easiest thing to work around. If I had to get rid of every aspect of my business, the blog would be the last to go. I love to help students learn how to do this for their own families, for their own idea, their own business, with my 5-day blog challenge. So this is 5 days to narrow down your niche, craft your brand, and come up with a content plan for a successful blogging business. Blogging is one of those things that people think is dead, and I'm here to tell you that it is the most profitable part of my business, so it is so not dead. But the reason they think that is because there's a strategy to it. It's not just a journal anymore. That kind of content's reserved for Instagram, for YouTube. It's different, but as big of an opportunity as ever. So if you are interested in figuring out or you're just curious, it's totally free, about blogging, you can join my challenge by heading to bit.ly/5-day-blog-challenge. That's bit.ly/5-day-blog-challenge. It's case sensitive, so all lowercase. All right. Hope that is helpful for you. Yeah. And something that you can control is the grocery budget to an extent. Obviously, there's different parts of the country and all of that. And you and I both live, I think, in relatively low price. I don't know, though. Maybe your area. How does it compare on budget for groceries?
It depends. I don't remember where you live. Where are you?
I'm in Missouri.
What
I think
state are
it's
you?
Like you're in Missouri. There's no denying it's pretty cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. Usually most Midwest is pretty inexpensive. Idaho used to be very inexpensive. I still think our property taxes are quite low, but we've had a ton of West Coasters move in.
This.
So here are the two housing categories. Are you ready for this? You have your, I'm paying in cash, $1.5 million houses.
Mm.
And then you have your total dump, gut everything house that was built in 1960. That's like, was it built to code in the first place? Probably not. For about $350.
Oh, my word.
So housing in my area has gone up significantly because of the influx of like Washington, Oregon, California people.
Yeah.
And then I think food everywhere has gone up. Check this out. This is so interesting. I just actually filmed an entire YouTube video on this. So I'll go into more detail on that. It's not out yet. But I get the comment all the time. I can't do what you do because of where I live.
Right.
I can't
absolutely
shop at these stores because I don't have these stores. Right. I've traveled all over the United States. I've even been to Alaska and Hawaii recently in the last year. If you live in Alaska and Hawaii, I'm going to give you a pass. I'm going to give you a pass because they are expensive.
Oh, my word. Yeah, I was in Hawaii too.
It can still be done to an extent, but they are high.
Yes.
So I'll totally agree with that. But I hear from a significant portion of California. I live in California. I don't have these stores. I can't do this. So this was interesting. I had a viewer send me her receipt from Walmart just a few days ago, like 4 days ago. This is what I bought from Walmart in California, like Southern California, big city. It was $129 for however many items it was. So because she sent me a picture of the receipt, I copied the entire receipt here at my Walmart, Walmart to Walmart, exact item to exact item to see what mine came out to be.
Okay.
You want to know what it was?
I'm very curious.
$125. Hers was $129. Mine was $125. And the difference is I live in Idaho country. My potatoes were cheaper.
Those were the $4, huh?
Those were the $4. It was pretty much identical.
Wow.
So I think you really can do what I do in, I'm going to call it the lower 48. How about that?
Yeah. Right. Not Hawaii and Alaska.
To be fair, I've never been to New York City.
Okay. I actually have.
Yeah, not Hawaii and Alaska. I've never been to New York City.
I mean, I don't think I really bought groceries though. We were just eating out and yeah, it was pricey. It was pricey.
Yeah. I suspect New York City, probably Jersey is very expensive, but I haven't been. So I can't say on that one, but I do think there are a lot of options. It's just a different way of looking at it, which is hard to do. It's hard to change the way you think about something and to change those habits. So I understand that it is difficult, but I also think that it is possible.
Well, and it's really hard. And this is probably going to ruffle some feathers, but it's really hard if you think that you have like a different circumstance that you know, there's some reason why it can't be done. And this, like, again, Dave Ramsey, he's always says you can't get a pass on math. Like, that math doesn't change. And so if you think that there's absolutely no way you can do it in your area, then maybe you're not looking for some of the creative solutions.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, Lisa, I know you cook from scratch most, like 98% of the time.
For the
right?
most part. Mm-hmm.
And I think people underestimate the power of cooking from scratch. And it is scary when you've never done it and you haven't had a mentor to help you. And you're going to make some stuff that's gross and you're going to mess it up. But it's like anything, it is a skill that you can learn. And cooking from scratch will blow people's mind about how much you can save. Mm-hmm. Your food's going to be better. You can eat more of it without eating all those excess calories in the processed food, and your budget's going to be low. It will.
Yeah. Oh, there are so many things. Like recently I picked up some like avocado oil mayo because I normally make my own mayo, but we were out and about and I wanted sandwiches and I like mayo. And that's like $8. And I just have a couple of eggs for my chickens and some oil. And that's our mayo. And that's what I'm comparing it to. And it has to be because it's shelf stable. They had to ship it across the country. It makes a lot of sense when you think about it, why it's so much pricier. But that's why it's pricier.
You brought up the avocado mayo. It's so interesting. I've spent the last few months researching ingredient lists a little bit more and paying more attention than I used to. I think that probably happens when you have any kind of health issue. So I've been to the doctor a few times this year to try and figure out some stomach issues that I have. And so I'm like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'm eating something that my body doesn't like, or, you know, that seems like the obvious place to start. And so I started reading ingredient labels and I stopped buying a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I switched to avocado mayo because it's the only one that doesn't have like seed oils or
right.
soybean oil, mm-hmm. or even your quote better brands all have that. And the avocado one is the only one that's like eggs and salt and avocado oil.
Right.
So you just kind of blew my mind that you were like, I make my own mayo. Obviously, I know you can do that. I've just never done it. I know chefs do it and they call it aioli and it's fancy mayo, but I've literally never done it. So mm-hmm. do you use avocado oil?
Yeah.
Or olive oil?
Yeah, you can do both.
How long does it last?
The olive oil, wine ends up tasting very strong. I mean, you can imagine, like, if you think about, like, mm-hmm. the taste of olive oil versus mm-hmm. the taste of avocado oil, it's more of a neutral oil. So as far as it lasting, I have actually found a way to make it last longer by adding in a little bit of something fermented, like either a little bit of yogurt whey or sauerkraut juice. Because it has raw eggs in it, it doesn't last super long. But here's what it is. You put an egg in a jar, a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of salt, add about a cup of oil on top, and then just use an immersion blender. It comes together in no time at all. If you want to, like, use half on sandwiches or whatever you're doing, and then half mixed with a little bit of honey and mustard and make a honey mustard, it's so good in that. But I do try to make it whenever I'm wanting to use a lot of mayo in the next week. So that's sort of the thing. Like, there's no preservatives in it, so it can't keep in your fridge forever unless if you ferment it, it lasts a lot longer. But I think that's the biggest issue with it, is the storage.
Right, right. Okay. I'm so fascinated right now. I feel like I need to go make mayo, because I've, just like you said, the avocado mayo, I've been finding it at my discount store, which I am fortunate enough to have, so I can get really high quality products for very inexpensive. So I've been buying the Primal Kitchen avocado mayo. Avocado oil mayo, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the one that I have.
So in my area, right, that same jar is $12 mm-hmm. at Walmart, and I can find it at my discount store sometimes for under $1.
Oh.
And so when I see it, I'm like, yoink, I just snatch that right up.
See, that's cheaper than making it.
Right. It is cheaper than making it. But if I can't find it, I would much rather make it instead of buy a jar for $12, which is obscene.
Uh-huh. Now, what about things like Thrive Market and Azure Standard? Does that in a way level the playing field, or are the prices, I mean, this is a dumb question, but like the prices are the same, right? Like no matter where you are, if you log in, you get that price, or am I wrong about that?
No, you're right about that, because the price is the same across the board for whoever orders it. I just did a video on my YouTube channel comparing Thrive Market to Misfits Market and then like buying the same items at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Thrive Market, I think, has amazing sales, and they will price match item to item based on anywhere else that you find it. Like, they send me emails all the time. That's like 40% off, blah, blah, blah. So if you really are looking for specialty diet items, I think they're a winner. I've been buying my jam from them because I haven't made jam in a while. I used to make all my own homemade jam, like jams and jellies. I just have gotten away from it in the last year. So I'm trying to buy like a higher quality jam. I want pectin, fruit, and sugar. That's it.
Yep.
None of this high fructose corn syrup, none of these preservatives. I don't want any of that stuff. So those are hard to find and they're expensive. So I've been getting those on Thrive Market. They have some things that are great prices, but you really have to search probably just like anywhere.
Right.
Azure Standard, I just did an order. I just wanted to see if it was like worth it. And I haven't broken down all the prices yet, although I did go pick up my order. Everything that I got is like the organic and the, you know, higher quality, I guess. But I can't tell you today if they're cheaper than buying organic at Walmart. I can't tell you that because I haven't mathed it yet. I don't suspect so. Mm-hmm. And I know you can buy all those organic products at a Costco.
Right. And see, that's something I've only done just a few times. We don't have a Costco right in our area. I have to drive for it. And I am not, like, you are very good about working all the numbers. And that's such a value that you provide to your listeners and to your viewers, because I kind of like wherever I am is where I'm buying the groceries. So like if it's really easy mm-hmm. to quickly get on the Walmart app and I can get it delivered to my house today, which I know you guys just talked about all of that, and you're like, crazy things people spend money on. I am totally one of those people that pays for the deliveries.
No, I love Walmart delivery. I'm not saying that's bad.
The Instacart, right?
Was kinda the Instacart's expensive.
I didn't know that. Like, I do that too. Like, I'm kind of one of those people, like, if I'm in Costco, that's where I'm stocking up. If I'm at the Azure order, that's where I'm stocking up. If I've got Thrive Market, like, I buy from all of these places. I don't compare and like figure out where to buy my organic ketchup. I just kind of like get it wherever I currently am shopping. And I do all of those places. So I like that you, for the very, you know, somebody's on a very tight budget, the way that you will break things down, try things out, and then explain it to people in a simple way is really helpful. Cause like you did with Instacart, I literally never even noticed that it was more expensive.
I only knew because I want to try everything. So when I talk about them, I can talk about it with experience and knowledge without just guessing. You know, I think facts are more important than like, right. Well, I think it's the same. You know, I want to know for sure. So,
well, yeah, absolutely.
I try all of these things before I talk about them, so I know what it is. And when I tried the Instacart, I was like, wow.
This is nuts.
A lot.
Yeah, but you guys, you were talking about, and I, your husband was saying, or I think both of you were saying that it could make sense in certain seasons of life and for certain people based on like other things you have going on. You're like, I am not there. And I'm like, maybe that's because, you know, like it's, you're so conscious of like each thing with the grocery budget that it just, you just can't do it. Like, you know, whenever you see that difference in price. And I haven't compared that with the Instacart. I will say though, ever since I got the Walmart Plus app, I haven't done Instacart. I haven't done Instacart in probably over a year now. And I used to do it nonstop. Like everything I did was Instacart. But then I got the Walmart Plus app. And with Walmart, you just can get everything. You don't have to like get, you know, your toiletries one place. And so I've just been pretty stuck on that lately.
If you have to pick, I think the Walmart delivery is fantastic. It's so helpful, especially for people that are on a time budget. You know, some people have more time for other things. And since I was a stay-at-home mom, my job was to do as best as I could with the money that we had and not waste it.
Yeah, maximize.
Maximize the pennies mm-hmm. that I had. And, you know, if you're working full-time and, you know, your grocery budget's not as tight, maybe you don't have as many kids as me and you, you know, the convenience of not having to wander around a store for an hour and a half and then load it all in your car and then drive around for however long it takes you to get there. Yeah. Time is money also. So if your time is better spent, like working a few more hours and making the money and you tip the driver $15, whatevs.
Right. And that's what people have to remember. I say that a lot, but like you can't compare every situation. So for me, 15 years ago, paying that extra $15 to tip the driver would not have made sense. Now I have this home business. I sit here, do this podcast that actually pays more than the amount of time it would take me to go to the store, get all the groceries, come back. So it might not make sense for you, but it definitely does for me. And that's why you just have to like run it for your own situation.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
So much good information. Tell everybody where they can find you and get so much more. Again, I'm a listener of your podcast. Like it's entertaining because you, especially like your YouTube videos, you edit in such a fun way that you take like a concept that might otherwise be boring and make it really fun. But then your podcast, when you chat with your husband, you guys break down budgets. I don't know why. Like I feel like I'm already pretty good at this stuff and I just find it so entertaining. So tell us where best to find you.
Yeah, sure. I am on YouTube mostly at Frugal Fit Mom. I also have the podcast, Frugal Fit Mom Podcast. You can listen anywhere you listen to podcasts. I also have a video version on YouTube if you'd rather watch video. I just upgraded my mic, so the audio should be quite a bit better now. I'm very excited about that. Yeah. I also have a website with a bunch of recipes on it for free. It's frugalfitmom.com. There are a few mini e-cookbooks there if you want to shop those or a few dollars. And I think those are all the places you can find me. Oh, I'm on Instagram too. I'm not great at Instagram, but I am there. It's frugalfitmom6.
Yeah. The best, in my opinion, the best place is YouTube. Just search frugalfitmom. You'll find all the stuff. So
yep, you will.
Great content there, especially if you're getting started with cooking from scratch, started with budget, groceries, and all of that. That's the place to be. So thank you so much, Christine, for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks, Lisa.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast, and I will see you in the next one.